quite narrow. It was, and it's very simple, the story of the gold-spoke journeys on the English waterway system. Journeys that were taken at a time when the canals were very much a vibrant and working form of transport. The book casts an often scathing eye on industrial Britain, and why in the whole world is it under turmoil? Tom and Angela Rowe seem to lead an almost cocooned existence on board the London boat. Once published, Narrowboat was an immediate success, and it has never been out of print in 67 years, which is an incredible achievement. It was based on the success of this first book that led to Angela's suggestion. She was of an aristocratic background, but one who had forsaken her inheritance to marry Tom. Money was not important to either of them, but times were extremely hard, and one had to live. Rowan himself was born into old respectability, but by the time of Tom's arrival, there was little left but a good pay. He had trained as a mechanical engineer in the time-honored fashion with a hands-on apprenticeship on the factory floor. But as a newly married man, he had become somewhat fed up with the wheels of industry and sought a change in lifestyle. Today we might refer to it as an early midlife crisis and as a sort of opting out. But in the 1940s, people didn't generally opt out. Anyhow, with his first book, Narrowboat, very successfully under his belt, it is likely that the road set out on the Irish boat travels full of optimism and with a great degree of excitement. All of his interests and loves were about to come together in a truly memorable way. L.T.C. Rowe's first connection with this country was through an early relationship with an Irish foreign actress, who we simply know as Anna. It was she who introduced him to the pleasures of this life, some of which were physical, very physical, and others a bit more intellectual. Not least of these for Rowe was the beginning of what was to become a lifelong love affair with the poetry of W.B. Yeats. It was Anna who stimulated his interest in literature and encouraged him to begin writing. But she was to disappear as suddenly as she had appeared, and Rowe was left alone to hone his craft. But the seeds were well sown, and for Rowe there was to be no going back. As Angela, his first wife, was, as we have seen, fully behind his endeavours. The merged interest in industry and engineering, history and people, writing and literature was as natural as day follows night. The Ireland of 1946 was very different to the England of the same time. It was a hugely agricultural economy, whereas Britain was very much still in its industrial heyday, with its industries of coal, steel, and manufacturing at its absolute peak. It was from this that Rowe sought temporary respite. The sheer squalor of the great industrial heartlands of Northern England disturbed and challenged him. He had concerns for the lives of the people who spent their meaningless days fueling furnaces or deep in the mines. And the nights were passed in the row upon row of flattened brick terraces with no salvation. Many of the